He died for us. Commentary for the November 5th, 2022 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Genesis 22, verses 11 through 13. Life is persistent. Those of us who are gardeners know how persistent it can be. We carefully plant rows of vegetables, and no matter how much time and effort we expend in protecting our hoped-for harvest from weeds, they never seem to stop sprouting and threatening to choke out our crops. We may look back to Adam's fall as the instigator of our current struggle with these thorns and thistles interlopers. But many do not question where they came from, only that this unending warfare between the gardener and his nemesis exists. Even though modern chemical weapons are deployed in the battle with some success, the weeds seem to mutate, to be ever more capable of surviving the toxins. Some, like poison oak or poison ivy, have their own chemical arsenals against us that will make the unwary rue carelessness when encountering them. We should understand this persistence to survive, to live. When we are faced with a life-threatening experience, we instinctively struggle to survive. When we are drowning, we gasp for air and reach out desperately to grab onto anything that might save us. Because we are going on instinct instead of rational thought, our desperation might pull others down to a watery grave with us. Lifeguards face this danger whenever they attempt a rescue from drowning. Fortunately, they receive training in how to deal with this problem. Most of us do not. Despite this powerful instinct to go on living, even at great cost, such as the loss of our physical well-being, we are nonetheless faced with an unavoidable eventuality. We are going to die. Some will die after 80 years or more. Others will die much earlier. Most will die of illness, sometimes exacerbated by poor lifestyle choices, or simply the result of a bad roll of the genetic dice. A few will die from accidents. Though we hear about death by accident on the news media constantly, it is a rare occurrence. This is why accidental death insurance is so inexpensive. So if death is inevitable, no matter what form it takes, why do we still cling to life so perniciously? Could it be that there is more to life than we think? While death exists all around us and claims each of us in our time, birth and new life also abound, and this brings our thoughts to where all of this life came from. The book of Genesis tells us that the power of life derives from the breath of God. This may be a metaphorical way of saying it is beyond our understanding. Poetic metaphor can sometimes cross over the intellectual divide to those things not amenable to logical syllogisms. While we are rational beings, well suited to live and thrive in a rational environment, we are also keenly aware of the limits of rationality. Although we have a rudimentary understanding of the concept of infinity, we are unable to construct it. We can only use symbolic placeholders. Despite the plasticity of our mental processes, we simply cannot visualize infinity. The same problem exists with life. The holy grail of biology would be to create life from inanimate matter. But thus far, we have been unable to isolate that enigmatic force discrete from the organism that possesses it. We can only terminate life as evidenced by the cessation of metabolism. We often model the brain as an organic computer processing data elements, but we are unable to find in that the source of sentience. Science fiction has speculated that if enough data and enough bandwidth are available, sentience will naturally derive. A recent Amazon Prime series, Upload, plays with this idea in a world where our data, and thereby our self-awareness, can be uploaded into a computer at the point of our demise, and we can be preserved, depending on our ability to afford the financial cost, forever. But eons of existence have revealed this simplistic understanding of human sentience for the fantasy it is. The Bible offers us a way out of this conundrum, but unlike science fiction, it does not teach us that humanity will one day become smart enough to preserve our conscious identities indefinitely. The closest we have been able to come is the preservation of the body in the brain-dead purgatory of life, supported by apparatuses capable of taking over portions of our metabolism, such as breathing, hydrating, or ingesting nutrients, all without conscious awareness of the ongoing maintenance of life. However, whether we are willing to consider the Bible as an answer to the life paradox, our continuing search for that life spark that grants us sentience afloat within a metabolic sea tells us that something inside us denies the idea that life as we now know it is all there is. By definition, rationality is limited to that which is proven to exist through rational demonstration. But despite all the scientific advances made possible by that means, we cannot produce sentience, true self-awareness, to mimic our own. The Bible tells us that we were not intended to return to the dust we were created from. The organic sentience was to continue unending. But we fail to recognize the invigorating source that sustained that, described in Genesis as the breath of life, emanating from God, to whom we were in intimate connection. We chose to disrupt that connection, though we were warned that death would be the alternative result. This left us like a lamp unplugged from the wall socket and wondering why so much darkness now abounds. Despite its many colorful stories, some of them even conflicting with one another, the Bible strives to get one main point across. Let's get plugged back in so we can get back on track to the fullness of life we were intended to enjoy. This does not mean we will not die. Our bodies are too far gone to support a never-ending existence. But Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, told us that we will be resurrected to receive bodies that are capable of lasting forever. But how is this possible? Paul also tells us in the same chapter that Christ's resurrection from death is proof of its reality. We can reject that as irrational fantasy, but if we do, Paul says we remain with our miserable lot, a short life followed by nothing to look forward to but eternal death. Science has borne this out, for there has been no one raised from the dead after several days of putrefaction, as was the case with Lazarus. Even Jesus remained in the tomb over the Sabbath and into Sunday, demonstrating that this reanimation was something beyond human ability to achieve. His resurrection was the earnest toward our own eventual rise from death at the parousia. What a party that will be as we rise to meet our Lord, and also to see our loved ones once again who died in the hope of that resurrection. Many through the ages have chosen to be baptized as a public demonstration that they place their faith in Jesus and that promised resurrection to eternal, uncorrupted life. Those who have chosen to give themselves to that hope through baptism also receive the Holy Spirit as mentor and guide. When we take that step, we are far from being ready for the depth of all that means. So we are fed children's spiritual food. It is simple, but it is adequate to nourish our growth to the point that one day the pabulum is set aside for the meat of the word and the ever-increasing light it can shine into our hearts and minds. As we continue to allow the Holy Spirit to grow us spiritually, meanness is shed in favor of kindness. Jealousy passes away in deference to love. Envy succumbs to compassion and empathy. Grasping greed extends its hands in self-sacrifice and service. In short, the Holy Spirit strives to recreate in us what we had in the beginning, an image of God as manifest in Jesus. Since, as both John and Jesus tell us, God is love, the Holy Spirit's work is demonstrated in our lives as we also become more loving. This is the fullness of the purpose of Christ's incarnation. Paul said as much in the love chapter he wrote to the Corinthians. We may see ourselves as theologically perfect in every way, but if we don't have love, we have failed to understand the message of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not just sentience for which we were made. Humanity was created to rise above the fallen state we now endure. Jesus, who was one with infinity, chose to step into our finite experience to show us what could be and did all in his power to make that experience ours, should we choose to accept it. He set the light of God in contrast to the darkness of our lives. Many have chosen darkness instead of light, but the light remains. Who will come? Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with the scripture footnotes supporting the thoughts contained in it, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries like this one at that website. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.